Good morning. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Lord's worship services at Central Church of Christ in Johnston City. If you're our visitor, you're our honored guest. We're glad that you were able to come be with us while you're in our area. If we can be of assistance to you, that's what we would like to do. I thought this morning before we began the services that we might consider what John was doing while he was in prison. And the specific example I'm talking about is found in Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. And even though he's in prison, he's looking for the Messiah. And this, of course, will confirm who the Messiah is. And as I read this today, I'd like to challenge you, if you're on that path and you have not found the Savior yet, we'd like to help you do that. Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. The subject of our worship, this Messiah. Let's enter into praise this morning.
Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. We want you, we adore you, we bow down before you. Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. Son of God, seated, please. Oh God, you
hymn before the prayer is 159. 159, You Are My God. We will sing this short hymn through twice, and then we will go to our Father in prayer. Would you pray with me? Dear God and Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for everything that we have. We thank you for where we are, where we live. We thank you for the people that you surround us with. We thank you for the church here at Central. All the good things that the church does. Pray, dear God, that we can do so much more in the future, so much more in your name. Pray, dear God, as we look around and we know so many people have moved to our area, that our church here at Central and your church here at Central can be a guiding light to all those who find us. Pray, dear God, that you'll be with all of those here and all of those listening, all of those viewing. We have so many in our prayer list, on our prayer list, that are going through so many things. Whether that be testing, whether that be treatments, whether that be diagnosis, all of these things and all of these people, pray that your richest blessings be upon them. Dear God, I pray that you'll forgive us. Even as we try to do right every day of our lives, we fall short so often. And I just pray that you'll be with us. We know that you're a kind, loving, a patient God, and we thank you for that. Thank you most of all for your Son. For without him, we wouldn't have hope of eternal life. Just pray, dear God, that as we go throughout this service, that the sermon that Tim brings us will be not only beneficial to our to strengthening us today, but that it'll be something that we can discuss with others, that we might turn others to you, and that we might live a life that you'd be happy with. Pray, dear God, that you'll go with us throughout this day, throughout the service, throughout the rest of this week. Throughout our lives, whatever time we have left, we pray that we'll live it for you. It's these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
If you're using the hymnals, you may want to mark number 909. This will be the hymn of encouragement following the lesson this morning. And then before the scripture reading and the lesson, we will sing 123. The steadfast love of the Lord. Let's stand once again if it's convenient for you as we sing.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases.
Oh, seated, please.
Right, this is a good time for the children to go on to children's training class. And this morning I'll be reading from the New King James Version in Exodus 33, verses 17 and 20, verses 17 through 23. Just give another moment for children's training class. All right, in Exodus 33, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'This very thing that you have spoken, I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name.' Moses said, 'Please show me your glory.' And he said, 'I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I am gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But,' he said, 'you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live.' And the Lord said, 'Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock, and while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen.'"
We like to talk about the love of God, but that's not enough. As we sang, it's the steadfast love of the Lord. Steadfast means that it's there every day, every morning, as Lamentations says. And that's good to know, because sometimes we're not that way. We are one way today, we're a different way tomorrow. Who knows what side of the bed I woke up on? But God is always steadfast. And we praise him for that. We love him for that, because he's always there for us when we turn to him. And so that's why we're coming together again to praise God, to worship him in spirit and in truth, because he's worthy. He's worthy of the best that we can give him. We're so glad that you have joined us today. We have an excellent number. I don't know how many are here. Somewhere around 700 or 800, I'm guessing. Don't pan the auditorium with the cameras, by the way. But it is a very good number, I can tell. And we're so thankful that, you know, that you are here. Some of you are visiting with us, and we're very thankful you have come our way. If you can, let us get to know you before you run off. And if we can help in any way, we'd like to do that. And just so thankful that you are here. Lord willing, we'll meet again this evening at 6 o'clock. And we're going to begin a series of three lessons tonight on heaven. Tonight we're going to raise the question, heaven, what's so great about it? I mean, everybody talks about heaven, but why? What's the big deal here? And we're going to look into the Word of God and find reasons to get excited about heaven and about the prospect of going there. So I really hope you'll come back and join us for that. And if you can't, then join us online. We're always glad to have people join us online. But if you can come and join us in person, that's even better. And that's something we hope will happen. Also today, of course, we are going to have a celebration of life service for someone that was a very real part of us, that was so encouraging and helpful, our Sister Marie Dye. She passed from this life several days ago, and today we're going to have a celebration of life service here in the building at 3 o'clock. Now, from 2 o'clock until 3, you can come and visit with the family. I know her sister, Ann, and her brother-in-law, Bill, are with us today. Ann and Bill, raise your hand back there so people know who you are. And you'll say, yeah, that's Marie's sister. We can tell that. But we loved Marie so much and hate for us that she went on. But we are rejoicing for her because in every way she seemed to live the life of a Christian. And I think there are others that are going to be here with us. Is there anybody here from Roanoke for the morning worship? I've been looking. I haven't seen them come in, but I know there they are, back there. Mike and Mary Sheridan are here with their daughter Carol, I think. And we're so glad that they are with us, so happy that they have come for this occasion. It's a time of sadness, but a time of rejoicing as well. So make sure you get back to see Mike and Mary and Ann and Bill. But let's do what we can to comfort one another, strengthen one another. Now get your Bible out if you don't already have it out. Let's get into the Word of God and see some amazing things that God has for us in His Word. If I mention the name Clark Kent, you know who I'm talking about? Well, now you do. The picture's on the screen. Well, Clark Kent looked pretty ordinary. He was a reporter for the Daily Globe, was it? I don't remember exactly the name of the newspaper. But when the need arose, he would dash into a phone booth. Some of you may not know what that means. But he would dash into a phone booth and come out in his Superman costume, and then he could do amazing things. And that's been an entertaining story. It wasn't real, of course, but it was something that we enjoyed at the time and maybe still do. But when you're talking about Jesus Christ, when he changed suits, as it was, when he put on a body of flesh, he came down from heaven, put on a body of flesh, he looked quite ordinary. He looked very ordinary. And yet many would say, Jesus, what are you doing? You're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. Show your full glory. And yet most of the time in Scripture, there he is. He looked just like anyone else. In Isaiah 53, we're told there was nothing about his appearance that made us desire him, meaning he looked like anybody else. And so what does that mean? I mean, did Jesus show his glory? Glory is a word that is very befitting of anything from heaven. We use, for example, the word glory to talk about a bright, sunny day. It is a glorious day, we say. Or maybe the full moon that we saw a couple of nights ago. What a glorious sight that is. Or the stars, when you are in a place of darkness and can see the stars in their full glory. But it's especially fitting for God. And so we want to ask the question, when you're talking about the glory of Jesus Christ, what do we mean? Did people see that? Can we see that today? And I think the answer found in the Word of God maybe will surprise us, but it will certainly encourage us. So let's look together at that idea. Now, first of all, let's talk about glory beyond our power to comprehend. Glory beyond our power to comprehend. Let's talk, for example, for a moment about electricity. Electricity is a very useful thing. It's why we have lights in this auditorium right now. It's why we have this sound projection system. It's why we have the ability to broadcast to places all over the world. Electricity is very useful. But if it is not tempered, if it is not transformed, we might say, that we have those transformers on the poles outside, without those, you're talking about something overwhelming, something dangerous, something that could easily take our lives. Well, in the same way, that glory of God can be overwhelming. Let me show you that. Go back to Exodus 33. That was what Earl read to us a few moments ago. Exodus chapter 33. We're going to look at verse 20 now. And Moses has just asked God for this favor. He said, Lord, show me your glory. And that's something we all would like to say. Lord, we really like to see your glory. I mean, we're curious. We'd like to see what it looks like. And here's part of how God responded to that request. Exodus 33, verse 20. But God said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. Man shall not see me and live. Now, what does that mean? I think it's very similar to the idea of untempered electricity. We're not equipped for that. We cannot handle that much glory in these bodies of flesh. And if we were to see the full glory of God, that would be the end of us physically. And so God is saying, you can't handle that, Moses. I'd like to fulfill your request, but you're not capable of it. And evidence of that can be seen in other ways. For example, go a little further in Exodus to chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40, we're going to look at verses 34 and 35. And there, the tabernacle has been built. The tabernacle was a portable temple. The temple was built in the time of Solomon. This is long before that. And so for now, this is what it's going to be. This is where God's name will dwell. It's where people will come and worship God. A tabernacle, a tent. And now it's been completed just as God had directed Moses. And now it is being consecrated. And listen to what it says in Exodus 40, verses 34 and 35. Then the cloud, and we're talking about the presence of God in symbolic ways, the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Notice that. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Did you notice that? Moses could not enter the tabernacle. Why? Because the glory of the Lord filled it. It was so awesome. It was so overwhelming. In fact, you'll see if you were to look, and we're not going to look at this right now, but in 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, the same thing happens when the temple is consecrated. The temple, again, is filled with the glory of God, and the priests have to wait outside. They can't enter it because the glory of God is just overwhelming. It is overpowering. Now, look with me at Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, verse 2, and we're looking at that incident we refer to as the transfiguration of Jesus. The transfiguration, or the transformation is another way you could say it. Because while the disciples were sleeping, Jesus was praying, and suddenly he was transformed. And here is how Matthew describes it in verse 2 of Matthew 17. Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun. Have you ever tried looking directly at the sun? Don't try it. Because it will blind you in a matter of seconds. It's overwhelming. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became white as light. And that must have been frightening. It must have been astonishing when the disciples awoke and saw that. And then go with me down to verses 5 and 6. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. They were terrified. That's commonly how people respond in the Bible when they realize they are in the presence of God or even angels. They fall on the ground, they are terrified, and they have to be assured there's no reason to fear. Stand up. And that's what Jesus does in the verses that follow. But again, what we're talking about here is the glory of God can be very overwhelming. It will terrify us. And yet, Jesus in John 17, verse 24, he prayed that we might be able to see that glory. John 17, verse 24. In John 17, you've got the prayer that Jesus prayed the night that he would be arrested and that would lead to his crucifixion. Listen to this in verse 24 of John 17. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Now, they'd gotten a glimpse of it in the Transfiguration, but evidently not everything, not the full force, because Jesus says, I want them to see it. And I want them to be with me so they may see it. And that leads us to thinking, maybe talking about, let them join me in heaven. And that would make us ask the question, is there no chance of us seeing the glory of Jesus, the glory of Jesus Christ, until we get to heaven? Do we have to die in order to see that glory? Well, maybe not. Maybe we don't have to wait till then. Because of this statement I find in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. Meditate on this for a moment. 2 Corinthians 3:18, where Paul wrote, we all, not just the apostles, but all Christians, we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now, Paul was still in the flesh when he wrote those words. And other people that he's writing about were still in the flesh. And yet, what did he say they were doing? We are beholding the glory of the Lord. And when you look at the larger context of that verse, it looks like he's talking about seeing Jesus through Scripture. We are looking at Jesus as he has been revealed to us in the Word of God. And what we are doing, therefore, is we are beholding his glory. So can we behold the glory of Jesus Christ while we are still in the flesh? Well, not in the fullest sense. We can't see the full glory of God while we're in the flesh. No man shall see my face and live. And yet, we can see the glory of Jesus Christ as he is revealed in the Word of God. So let's talk now about beholding the glory of Jesus Christ 2,000 years later. I mean, here we are. About 2,000 years after Jesus was on this earth, we can still see that glory. Exodus 33. Let's go back to that for a moment. Exodus 33. In verse 19, there again is where the request was made. Lord, show me your glory. And notice what God said there. Exodus 33, verse 19. God said in response to that, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. So God was saying, in effect, okay, I will show you my glory. He goes on to say in verse 20, you can't see my face. But he says there in verse 19, I will proclaim my name. I will pass before you, and I will proclaim my name. Now go to chapter 34 of Exodus. Exodus 34, look at verses 5 through 7, and now God is fulfilling that request. Here's what it says. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with Moses there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now, God is doing what he said he would do. You want to see my glory? I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Now, read on. Verse 6, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And what God is saying is, my glory can be seen in my attributes. My glory can be seen in my nature. And what are those attributes? Look at it again. Verse 6, merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. There is glory. That's something we can process while we are in the flesh. The full glory of God, no, we can't do that while we're in the flesh. And so we can do that also with God in the flesh, namely Jesus Christ. Let me suggest three or four examples of that. Let's go to the New Testament now. Go to Mark chapter 2, verse 16. Mark chapter 2, verse 16. You want to see the glory of Jesus Christ? Here's an example. Mark 2, verse 16. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that Jesus was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And I propose to you, there is the glory of Jesus Christ. These are people, the tax collectors and sinners, that most people in society would want nothing to do with. Oh, they are spoiled, they're ruined. Stay away from them. But do you see Jesus? He goes to those people because they recognize we have needs. Blessed are the poor in spirit. These were people that were poor in spirit. And Jesus went to them. There was nobody out of bounds for Jesus. If they were willing to listen and to receive the word of God, he went to them. That's the glory of Jesus Christ. He was approachable. He was willing to receive anyone. That is wonderful news, and that is the glory of Jesus Christ. Also go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 through 15. Here again, you want to see the glory of Jesus Christ? And we love this incident. We talk about it quite often, actually. Matthew 19, beginning in verse 13. Then children were brought to Jesus that he might lay his hands on them and pray. Now the problem is, Jesus is busy. I mean, nobody on earth was busier than Jesus was during his ministry. He was surrounded by crowds. Sometimes he had to get into a boat in order not to be crushed by the crowd. He was busy. And so naturally, you can understand what the disciples are doing. The disciples rebuke the people. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and went away. Oh, I know politicians will kiss babies, but that's only during campaign season. Don't bother them any other time. They got too much to do. But Jesus, he loved the little children. And he was willing to receive them and bless them and give them something that might turn their lives in the right direction. You want to see the glory of Jesus Christ? Look at Jesus there as he receives the little children. And then go to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13 and verse 16. Here again, a miracle happens, but it's not the miracle I'm so concerned with. It's what Jesus chooses to do, even though he knows there might be controversy here. Luke chapter 13, verse 16. Ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Now we're talking about a woman that had a spirit of infirmity, we're told, and it caused her to be bent over, almost double, we expect. Her spine had been bent out of proportion. She could not straighten herself. It had been that way for 18 years. And she comes into the synagogue. It's the Sabbath day, and everybody's looking at Jesus. Are you going to heal her on the Sabbath day? You don't do that on the Sabbath day. That was their law, not God's law. And Jesus ignored conventional wisdom. Jesus ignored the tradition of the elders and the scribes. He did what was right. He showed compassion to this woman who had been bound for 18 years and gave her the freedom to stand up straight for the first time in a long time. There is the glory of Jesus. A woman that might have been invisible to many in society at that time. Oh, we've seen her around. She's just that way. But Jesus saw a daughter of Abraham who needed to be freed. He had compassion on her and freed her. There's the glory of Jesus Christ. And then one that's maybe especially pertinent to all of us, John 15, verse 13. John 15, and verse 13. And I don't think I'll need to elaborate much on this. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. He's talking about what he's going to be doing soon. I'm going to lay down my life for all of you. We're the ones that brought sin upon our lives. We're the ones that entered into the curse. Jesus had no sins. He was totally innocent. And yet he said, I will lay down my life for you. My precious blood will be shed to make atonement for your sins. And then forgiveness will be available. You want to see the glory of Jesus Christ? Look at the cross. We'll be doing that soon as we partake of the Lord's Supper. But every Sunday as we do that, we are beholding the glory of Jesus Christ. And when you go throughout the four Gospels, you'll see many episodes like what we've looked at briefly this morning. So many times when Jesus interacted with people that others would not interact with. He would touch lepers. Nobody wanted to touch them. He would restore the sight of the blind. So many different ways you see the glory of Jesus. And it's not necessarily the miracles that is the glory. It was the way he felt toward those people who had those needs. That's what impresses me. And that's why I want to share in the glory of Jesus. And the good news is, the glory of Jesus has not vanished from the earth. The glory of Jesus has not vanished. Let me give you evidence of that from Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, you know this passage. Some of you can say it without looking. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We love that invitation. And you've heard it again. The invitation is still alive. It is still active. And if it reaches out and touches you, then that means today you should respond to the invitation of Jesus. Let me share one other passage before we finish this lesson. John chapter 1 verse 14. John chapter 1 and verse 14. John opens his gospel differently than Matthew, Mark, or Luke. He talks about the Word, and we're wondering, well, what do you mean by the Word? And finally, in verse 14, we understand it pretty clearly. He's talking about Jesus. And he says this in John 1 and verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. No doubt you've heard that the word dwelt is translated from the Greek word skenoho. It is a word that means tabernacled. It's saying, in effect, Jesus left his mansions in heaven and came down to earth to live in a tent. Not actually a tent, but a tent of flesh. Now we saw in Exodus what happened when God came into the tent, the tabernacle. The glory was overwhelming and people could not go in while that glory was there. But when Jesus entered into that tabernacle of flesh, he draws us. We want to go in because that glory is something we need, is something we want. And so I suggest today that the request Moses made long ago of God is one that we ought to be asking regularly. Lord, show me your glory. I know I can't see you face to face yet. That will happen in heaven. But right now I can see your glory as it is shown in Jesus Christ. And as you look at that glory, does it draw you? It did me. It continues to draw me. it has most everybody else in here, has it drawn you into a relationship with Jesus that comes about by obeying those simple terms of forgiveness? Do you believe that Jesus is God's Son? Enough to turn away from your sins, repenting of them? Enough to confess Him before other people? Enough to do that simple command that Jesus gave? He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Do you believe it that much? Then why not this morning obey that gospel? Enter into that relationship and enjoy the glory that we are given in God. And if you've done those things, have you continued, or has the allurement of the world pulled you away from the glory of God? You need to come home. We urge you to come home. We want to pray with you. If you're ready to turn away from your sins and ask for forgiveness, we'll pray with you, for you, whatever we can do. Come as we stand together and sing. Seth asked for our prayers for two or three things. One, someone very close to him has suffered a loss. We won't mention specifics, but someone has suffered a loss that is causing them and Seth pain. And it's something he wants us to pray with him about, that the one who is close to him will be given comfort and peace. He says he also sometimes feels like a bad person when he knows he's really not. And I suspect that's from Satan. Satan tries to get all of us to think we're not really worthy of the grace that God has made available to us. These are good things for us to be praying about, and we're going to pray with and for Seth on these. We also are happy to tell you about some new folks that are placing their membership with us here at Central. Karen Daniels recently moved to our area. We've known her daughter, Molly, for a few years now. She's been a student at ETSU and has been just faithful in being with us in worship and Bible classes. And Karen moved here recently and is already working at the Sullivan County Court Clerk's Office. But she met this morning with a couple of our elders, and we want to introduce her as one of our newest members. So, Karen, where are you? There she is, back here. Everybody be sure to meet Karen and welcome her into our family. Her information and her photo will be in our Instant Church directory shortly. And also, a couple that have been with us now for a few months, they've been making a transition from over in North Carolina to our area, and that's Kelly and Bruce Brown. They have been members of the Biltmore Church in Asheville, and he has served over there as a treasurer and has been trying to pass the books to somebody else. So this morning, they have met with a couple of our elders, and now they're ready to say we are part of the family here. So Kelly, Bruce, would you all stand for just a moment and let people know who you are? And we know they also are going to be great additions to our family. And they'll be in our Instant Church directory very soon. So thankful to have them. And we are going to go to God in prayer now. Bow with me. Father, we do praise you for your greatness and love. We praise you for Jesus, our Savior. And through him, Father, we have access to you through prayer. And we're using that prayer right now, Father, to pray on behalf of Seth and probably many others among us who feel pain because of losses that we have suffered of one kind or another. And also because sometimes Satan makes us feel unworthy, makes us feel like we're bad, even though we are in Christ. And so, Father, help Seth and any others who may be struggling with such feelings that we may know that you are with us, that your grace is steadfast. And, Father, we're so thankful for these that have now come to be part of our family here at Central. Thank you for Karen and for her moving to our area and the fact that she's been with us so regularly since coming here. Lord, bless her that she may find this to be a home that will be encouraging, nurturing, where she can use her talents. And likewise, we thank you for Kelly and Bruce and for their coming to our area to be part of our family here. And Father, again, we pray that they also may be a part of our work, that they may be encouraged and built up, and that they will help us to likewise be built up. Lord, we just thank you for this family. We know there are others among us that may be pondering this decision. Help us, Lord, to be what you want us to be, not what we want to be, but what you want us to be, Lord. Be with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we share the Lord's Supper together, we will sing 335, In Memory of the Savior's Love.
Amen. Would you go ahead and prepare your communion cup? I'll be reading briefly from Luke out of the 22nd chapter. As the Passover is celebrated and as Christ institutes the Lord's Supper, it's one more example where we can behold the glory. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And then he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it. And he gave it to them saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. And do this in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. We are so awed. Lord, we can come before you in prayer at all times for all reasons and all concerns. And Father, we are so awed that you gave us Christ, that he became flesh, that he walked and he lived and he taught, and that he gave himself for us. And Father, as he gave the bread, which was his body, we do this each week, just as Christ taught, as this moment, to return to you, to remember that Christ is the path to you. And Father, we thank you for this bread. It represents the body, and we do this in remembrance of Jesus. Amen. Continuing in Luke, "Likewise he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you.'" Let's pray. Father, again we come before you. We are awed. The mercy, the grace, the love. Father, so many things you have given to us and for us. Father, we are just awed as we take this cup that represents the blood of Christ. There is nothing else that can cleanse us. And Father, we thank you. Father, as we take this, we do it knowing that you gave Christ to us and for us. And Father, that he is the hope that we have to come back to you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. At this time, we'll also have a prayer for a contribution. The elders of the church have designated this time, but also many ways that we can give back to the church, whether it's here in the baskets or online. So as we give today, maybe we have already arranged for giving. But as we have just prayed, Christ was given for us and to us, and it's good for us to give back. So let's pray. Father, again, we come before you thanking you. All of us are blessed in so many different ways, but all in one way through Christ. And Father, as we give today, we support the work of this church that is your church. We support the work of the church on earth throughout the world, Father, bringing your gospel and your encouragement and your help and basic needs to others, Father. We thank you so much, and we ask that what has been given and what is given is done cheerfully and with your blessing, and all for the glory of Christ. Amen.
Let us pray. Our Father, as we come before you just now, we're thankful for this opportunity. This opportunity to gather in your name, do those things that the scriptures teach us. Give us the opportunity to greater understand this doctrine, how worship is to be conducted and completed, dear God, and how we should conduct ourselves. We're thankful for Tim Hall. We're thankful for the blessings, dear God, that come from his study and from his work. We're thankful for our youth minister, our college minister, our Spanish minister. Dear God, we lift them up in prayer to you just now. And we pray, dear God, that much good would continue from this work. We're thankful for these that have come our way, that have decided to join the work here at this place. We pray, dear God, that their time would be productive and it would be mutually beneficial for us all. We ask for the blessings of safe travels. We soon leave this place, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please pick up your communion cups and throw them away as you leave the auditorium. Celebration of Life service for Marie will be today. We begin at 2 o'clock. There'll be a baby shower for Anna today from 2:30 to 4:30 at the side porch. The bulletin has more specific instructions. Digging Deep Ladies Bible Study will be held on Monday, June 9th at 5 p.m. See the Digging Deep bulletin board in the old foyer for more details. The retired men's breakfast will be held on Tuesday, January 10th at 9 a.m. Please sign the sign-up sheet on the message board if you plan to attend. The Redbirds will meet at the Harbor House on Tuesday, January 10th at 11 a.m. The Dorcas Group will meet on Wednesday, January the 11th at 1 p.m. A meal train has been started for Jan and Cheryl, as Jan's been released from the hospital. Please see your bulletin, Daily Focus, for more details. The Dad's Prayer Breakfast will be this Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. at Shoney's. The new time for Spanish ministry services on Sunday is now 2 o'clock. Spanish ministry services will be meeting on Sundays at 2 o'clock. As I mentioned, Jan was discharged from the hospital Friday morning. Please continue to remember this family in your prayers. Ed Kelly was not able to receive chemotherapy on Friday as his blood levels had declined. He has been scheduled for another attempt on Monday. Wren Granberry, James's sister-in-law, is scheduled for open heart surgery on Monday in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Jean, mother of Jerry, has learned that her cancer has returned more aggressively than before, and this family is requesting our prayers. Elizabeth has been hospitalized in Lafayette, Louisiana, since being found unconscious at her home last Sunday. She was not able to come off the ventilator on Thursday, as has been hoped, and on Friday, her kidneys began to fail. Elizabeth is the sister of Zach, boyfriend of Mary Brown. Mary's the daughter of Kelly and Bruce, who worship with us. Please see your bulletin for additional prayer requests. You're dismissed.